Our reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 9. So I'll read this and then Aaron will come and bring us our message this morning. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal those who are ill and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. So, good morning, everybody. It's great to be with you from home this morning. Look out the window and it looks like a good day for ducks. But it's a great Northern Irish day and I'm really happy to be here and be speaking to you this morning on this really easy topic of does God heal today. If you ask me this question, my answer would be, well, yes, God does heal. I have seen it. I have experienced it for myself. But I'd also say no, because I have also experienced asking for healing and not receiving it. I have seen friends die, even though we prayed for healing. But I have also seen God bring people back from the edge of death. Answering this question honestly means that we must recognize the importance of prayer and faith, but we also must recognize the disappointment and the struggle to believe that God does heal. The struggle with the idea of healings or miracles, the idea that you can whisper a prayer quietly and someone somewhere hears it and your life changes all of a sudden. It could be that this idea that God would miraculously intervene in some way and heal people seems a bit unlikely and random and sometimes unfair. Why would God heal one person but not somebody else? Some people may put it down to luck or good fortune because they can't bring themselves to believe that God would or could or desires to intervene. When I dedicated my life to Jesus in my early 20s, after a period of being away from God and the church, I was very passionate for God. I was very passionate for the things of God. I think I fell in love with Jesus. I liked him. I liked what he was like. I liked the things he did. I liked the things he said. I'd read my Bible and I'd get really fired up about all the miraculous stories in there. And I passionately wanted to be like Jesus. I loved the fact that he talked to people nobody else would give the time of day to, that he healed people and he raised people from the dead. And I thought that those were the types of things that I would do. I thought that I was in for a life of adventure, of seeing miraculous things happen every day. At the beginning of my faith journey, I was a part of a group of 20s to the 30s called REND, and we would meet every Friday night at 11 p.m. in a basement below a Chinese restaurant. And we would sing and we would pray and we would go out into the street, into the town that we were in, and we would meet people and we would try to do the things that Jesus did. We would pray for people on the streets. We would talk to the homeless guy. We would help people stumbling out of clubs, blind drunk, getting them taxis, giving out water, just trying to be like Jesus in our community. But as the years have passed, I'm ashamed to say, and I've shed some tears over the fact that I feel like my passion has changed. Somehow I feel like it's gone from a roaring fire to something like a matchstick. It's still there, but sometimes it struggles to stay alight. And I get so distracted by all of the other things that are going on in my life that it dampens the fire and passion in my heart to do the things that Jesus did. You see, the physical healings in the Bible are almost all dramatic, supernatural, and instantaneous. Blind people see, lame people walk, leprosy is healed, bleeding stops, the dead are raised. And you know that some healings reported in our times now still follow this a miraculous pattern. We hear of people being healed of cancer. We hear of people coming back from the edge of death. And I'm not sure how many of us have seen or even would believe such miracles happen. But to be honest, we would be dishonouring God's power and his work among us if we were to dismiss the possibility of healing based on our finite awareness. Healing is a gift of the grace of God. Now, God does give some people the spiritual gifts of healing. It is listed in the New Testament as a gift of the Spirit. But healing is actually an act of God's sovereignty, of his goodness and his mercy and his love that works through an individual. God may indeed answer prayer for healing, but a miracle of healing never depends on anything we or others do or say. Healing doesn't depend on how much faith we have. It is an act of God. In our passage today, Jesus is telling the 72 to do the things that he did. Jesus taught, he healed, he delivered people from demons, he prayed, and he led by example. Do we do these things? Do we even attempt to do these things? And if not, what stops us? What stops us from stepping out and attempting to do the things that Jesus did? Sometimes it's a lack of faith. Sometimes we don't trust God because we have a plan B. Because when we trust God and when we have faith in him, we have to fully believe, lean and surrender, and we have to obey. And sometimes our situation means that we really struggle to believe. But we can also be held back by fear, the fear of disappointment. And I know that some of you listening to this talk are thinking, I have been disappointed by God. Because disappointment, it can remain with us all the time. It can shadow our reaction to everything. It can affect our faith. It can affect our courage. And it can make us afraid to step out. Because we don't want to be disappointed. At other times, we do have a tendency to be selfish. And this is quite pertinent for me in my journey. We've gotten this idea that being a Christian is all about what God does for us. We become a consumers. Not only that, but we can become a lazy a consumer. My comfort, my personal agenda are of utmost importance. God needs to do what I need him to do because I am the center of my world. Thing is that the reality of being a Christian, of being a disciple of Jesus, means that we actually join him and we become part of his kingdom. The kingdom of heaven the kingdom of God, it's not a self-help program with a spiritual component. And it really actually isn't about us. It's about Jesus. And I'm afraid to say that when it comes to healing or praying for healing, and maybe even believing and trusting that God can heal, we can become our own worst enemies. John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard Church and the author of several books on healing and evangelism, writes of his journey with healing. He had started a new church and was preaching through the Gospel of Luke, which is full of the healing ministry of Jesus. And John had no choice but to begin teaching on the subject of healing. He writes, "Soon I was praying for the sick, not because I had seen the sick healed, but because that was what Scripture teaches Christians to do. Over the course of the next 10 months, week in, week out, I prayed for people, and not one person was healed. Half of the members of my church left. And I kept preaching and I kept praying about healing because during this period, when I wanted to quit, God spoke clearly to me. Do not preach your experience. Preach my word." Though I continued to sound foolish because of my lack of results, I didn't stop preaching about God's desire to heal. And after 10 months, when I was at my lowest point, a woman was healed. Her husband had called and asked me to come over and pray for her. She was very ill. The healing occurred after I prayed for her, and she had begun. I prayed for her and had begun a well-rehearsed explanation to her husband about why she probably wouldn't be healed. During my explanation, she got out of bed, completely whole again. This was the beginning of a trickle that soon became a steady stream. Being a Christian can feel risky and vulnerable. We can at times feel like an imposter or a fraud. It's not simply a question of being strong and having all the answers. It's not that we are courageous. John Wimber's story teaches us that we as Christians are called to obey God's word. In season and out of season. When you're on fire with passion and when you're not. When you're seeing miracles and when you want to give up. We as Christians have something a remarkable, which the world around us desperately needs. And we are only able to bring healing to a broken world and to broken lives when we ourselves have experienced the healing of God's love. Because we all need healing, maybe physically, emotionally, spiritually. All of us have needed Jesus to heal us. If we don't recognize what Jesus has given us, if we don't try and do the things that he did, really, what's the point of the gospel? It's just a book of stories of a man a long time ago who did amazing things. If we don't have faith in Jesus, and if we don't believe that he commanded us to do the things that he did, we strip the Bible of its power and authority. Because Jesus actually gave the 72 power and authority to do the things that he did. And he does the same for us. There is a place in the New Testament where the presence of God, the meeting point of heaven and earth, meets us. And we can encounter this place. But this doesn't happen in a building. It's not a castle. It's not a place that we can physically go to. It's the whole people of God. It's the body of Christ. It is you and it is me. It is all of us. Jesus calls us to go out into the harvest field. our workplaces, our homes, our neighbourhoods, our friends, and bring his life to places where there is death and disappointment. A few months ago, I think, I preached on the topic that if God has changed your life, your story is life-changing. God gives us his authority and his power to go into the dark places, to go into the broken areas of our world, and to bring his healing and his love. Because it's not something that we do. It's not something that I do on my own. It's something that we do through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we grasp a hold of this, my hope is that we might bring light into places where there is darkness and despair. And today, I want you to feel encouraged. I want you to feel that ember of fire inside. I don't want you to be afraid of it. But what I would love is if you to hear that call from Jesus to step out and follow his command. And as we move into our next song, I'm just going to take a moment, like Josh did earlier, and just ask the Holy Spirit to fill us afresh, to ask for a revelation of his power and his might and his great desire to meet us where we are on this day. So let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us with your power and your authority. Give us courage to go out and do the things that you have called us to. Help us not to be afraid. Help us not to be selfish. Give us your eyes to see this world around us. May we be people who bring your kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' glorious name, amen.